If we could turn in our Bibles to the second book of Timothy, Paul's second letter to Timothy, and we're going to read a chapter 3 from the first verse down the chapter. So it's second Timothy chapter 3 and at verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this source are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his own holy word for his name's sake. Now, I don't know about you, but over these past few weeks, I have been praying in my quiet time about the week with the children, with the boys and girls that starts tomorrow, and I hope that you've been joining me in that you've been making it a matter of prayer, because we shouldn't enter into any of these things, whether it's for adults, whether it's for men or women or youth or children, without having the backing of prayer, without coming to God. And I want to take a text tonight which is very relevant when you think of what next week is all about. And it's from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And it says here, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." You see, friends, we should start to evangelize people from their childhood, from their childhood. I always encouraged, when I was a pastor in the work, for families to come out together to church, if possible, on a Sunday night. I know it's not always possible because school has to come and maybe young ones are not able to sit up as well as others, but where it's possible, I always encourage them to come out, because it's wonderful what little ears take in. And here's Paul here writing to Timothy, and he says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now, you know by this time what my style is when it comes to preaching the Word. Just don't take the text and preach on it. I like to start up the chapter a little bit and get the proper exegesis of the text. And you only get that when you take it in its context. So when we come to this third chapter of 2 Timothy, you'll see that it begins with a description of the last days. Paul says here, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And he begins to describe the kind of men, the kind of people that there will be in the last days. He says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And you can go down the verses. And may we get this great catalogue of people, and this is a description of the people that will live in the last days. And when you look at this description, you ask the question, are we living in the very days in which Paul was writing about away back there? Because I believe we are. My, as we look at these people who live in the last days, we see the wickedness that's here, the sinfulness, the evil, and it proves indeed that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So that's how the chapter begins, with a description of the last days. And I believe we're living in the last days. And then from verse 7 to 9, we have a denunciation of the teaching in the last days. He says, for of this sort are they that creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with their own lusts, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. People are always learning, but they never seem to be able to come to a knowledge of the truth. They tell us today, you know, that if we put man in the right environment and educate him properly, he'll change. That the world will become a better place. We live in a day when people have never been so well educated, and I'm all for young people getting a good education. But we live in a day when people have never been so well educated, and in life we've never had it so good. But instead of getting better, the world is getting worse. It's getting worse. Yes, remember that God put Adam and Eve in a perfect environment and gave them all the needed in the garden, and yet they sinned. It's not the world we live in, it's the nature that's within us that causes the sin. So we see the description of the last days and the revelation of the servants, or the denunciation of the teaching. And then in verse 10 to 12, we have a revelation of the servants of God in all times. He says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions. And he describes at Antioch and Iconium, and he says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul reminds Timothy of what he, Paul, was. He reminds him what he stood for and what he endured. And he says, if you're going to live for the Lord or work for the Lord, you'll suffer persecution. And then we see here not only the description of the last days and the denunciation of the teachers in the last days and the revelation of the servants in all days, but this exhortation to Timothy at the present time. He says here in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then he says, but continue thou in the things things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And he says things will not get any better, they'll get worse to Timothy. Yea, he says, but what Paul is saying is, listen, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast heard them. And he's saying to Timothy, listen, continue in the truth, no matter what anybody else is saying. If they're teaching contrary to what you have been taught by me, says Paul, my, you don't turn aside, you don't panic, just continue in the things that thou hast learned. And then Paul, we find he speaks in these closing verses of the chapter about the scriptures. He says here, from a child you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible, friends, let me tell you this, it's different from any other book. There's some great books that have been written, some great Christian books, some great expository books. But the greatest book in the world is the Bible. And it's different from any other book because it's divinely inspired. It's God's book. It's God's word. And my men and two women were inspired of God, holy men of God, moved to bring about this book. 40 different authors over a period of 1,600 years combined together, and we have from them tonight the Holy Scriptures. And they were inspired of God. We believe in the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures, that the people who spoke, like Moses and Samuel and Paul and Peter, that these men were inspired by God to write the very words that came from God. They were the instrument that God used. So the Bible, it's a special book. It was inspired by God itself. It's a holy book. And dear friends, it has been attacked. It has been burned. But it still has been preserved, because God has preserved it because it's his word. Men have given their lives for it. One thinks of William Tyndale and others who gave their life to give us the very book that you have in your hand tonight in our own language. And so we're seeing that Paul is emphasizing the importance of the scriptures. He says here in verse 16, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. You see, it tells us when we're right. Doctrine teaches us what's right. For doctrine and reproof, it tells us what's wrong. Yes, for correction, tells us how to get right. And instruction in righteousness, it tells us how to stay right, to stay right. So God uses the Holy Scriptures in the salvation of sinners. That's the instrument, along with the Holy Spirit, that God uses. Remember, Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. And so he says to Timothy here, and that from a child. He's taking him back to his childhood now. And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You see, Paul reminds Timothy of the privileges he had. Paul reminds him of the privileges he had. You see, it was Paul himself who led young Timothy to Christ. When you come to chapter 1 of the same book, in verse 2, it says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Now, Timothy wasn't Paul's son in the flesh. Paul wasn't his earthly father, but he was his son in the faith. It was Paul who led young Timothy to Christ. But Paul is taking him back into his childhood here. And he's reminding him of the seed that was sown and the foundation that was laid in his heart when he was just a child. He says in verse 5 of chapter 1, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt forth first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that is in thee also. And so, from a child being brought up in the home, this young man was taught the Holy Scriptures from a child. My, what a privilege to be brought up in a Christian home. What a privilege to go to Sunday school where teachers know the Lord and are faithfully teaching the children the Holy Scriptures. What a privilege to come to a church where the gospel is preached. Dear friend, he's taking him back, and he's showing to him, my, how that from a child he knew the Holy Scriptures, which was able to make him wise unto salvation. I remember as a young boy of 7 or 8 years of age coming down along Stone Street, I think it was every Wednesday or every Tuesday, to the Bible Club meeting here in the old church. And it was there that I learned I was a sinner. It was there that I learned I needed to be saved. And it wasn't until later on in life, till I was 18 years of age, maybe 10 years later, that I came to Christ. But my, from a child I knew the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make me wise unto salvation. And I would say to you who are parents tonight, make sure that you get the children out under the sound of the gospel, whether it's a good news club, whether it's Sunday school, whatever it is, my, make sure you get them under the truth from as early as possible. Dear friends, we see here the privilege Timothy had. Paul reminds him of the privilege he had. And then we see the persuasion Paul held, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. And we see the principle that Paul underlined. He says, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. My dear friends, we need to be saved because of sin. And so Paul here is outlining for us tonight the importance of the Scriptures and the importance of children being taught the Scriptures and being brought under the sound of the Scriptures from early days. Dear friends, the Bible is God's Word. Many other books are about, but the greatest book of all is this holy book, this book that came from the very heart of God, this book which is inspired, this book which is infallible, my written over a period of 1600 years by 40 different authors, not one contradiction, not one mistake, not one flaw. My, this is the Holy Scriptures, the Book of God, the Bible. We live in days when we need to love the Bible. It should be precious to us. Remember in the days of young Samuel, it says that the word of the Lord was precious in those days, for there was no open vision. I wonder, is the word of the Lord precious to you? We need to love the Bible. We need to learn from the Bible. I remember as a young believing learning. Up to that moment, it was the dullest book I'd ever read. In fact, I didn't read that much of it, to tell you the truth, apart from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But my, when I got saved, it became a new book. I began to see things I'd never seen before. We need, my, to love the Bible. We need to learn from the Bible. We need to look to the Bible for guidance and counsel in our days. Yes, church leaders need to look to the Bible as they face issues within the body of God's people. We need to love it and learn from it and look to it, and we need to listen to it. And I pray that you would pray that this coming week, that when boys and girls come in here or come in wherever they're going into some of the halls, from many different kinds of homes and backgrounds, that God would move in such a way that they might listen, to the Word, that they might listen to the Holy Scriptures. I just want to ask four questions tonight about the Bible. Four simple questions. First of all, in the light that the Holy Scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation, what does the Bible say about me? What does the Bible say about me? Number two, what does the Bible say about God? Number three, what does the Bible say about salvation? And number four, what does the Bible say about death and hereafter? First of all, what does the Bible say about me? Dear friends, the Bible says this. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that word all is a very inclusive word. It just means all. All in here tonight. All that lives in the street or road that I live in, all in Lisburn, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so the Bible says that I'm a sinner. That's what the Bible says about me. The Bible says that I was born a sinner, that I have sinned. Yes, and fallen short of the glory of God, the glory of God's righteousness, which is contained in the law of God, the Ten Commandments. My dear friends, we can line up against the Ten Commandments and not one of us can reach the peak. Not one of us can tick every box and say that we have kept all the commandments from 1 to 10. My dear friends, we have come short of God's standard. And that makes us sinners, no matter who we are. The Bible says that I need to be saved. That's what the Bible says about me. I need to be saved. Remember the story of Nicodemus, this religious man, this respectable man who was a leader of the Jews. He belonged to the Sanhedrin and he came to Jesus by night. And he came and he said, "Good master, my, thou art a rabbi come from no man could do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And the Lord Jesus passed by all that and he said, "Listen, Nicodemus, Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you know, as we go through life, people talk to us and they have their own opinions. And might they say, well, you know, I see things different from you. My church is different from your church, and it teaches this and that and the other thing. And it teaches, you know, that if I'm baptized, I'm be in the kingdom of God. If I do my best, God will not cast me out, and he'll take me in, and it'll all be settled the last day. And you know, you can go on from now until 12 tonight or 12 next evening, but at the end of the day, you have to come back to this. But except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter who you are, where you belong to, anything else. Jesus says to Nicodemus, listen, ye must be born again. Simple. No complication. Dear friends, that's what the Bible says about me. That I need to be born again. I need to be saved. I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if I don't do that, I'll not be getting into the kingdom of God. The Bible says that I'm not only a sinner and that I need to be saved and born again, but it says I'm in danger of perishing of my sins if I die without being born again, because the wages of sin is death. So that's what the Bible says about me. Simple, isn't it? Doesn't take you all night to do that. What the Bible says about me. Number two question, what does the Bible say about God? What does the Bible say about God? The Bible says a whole lot of things about God, but I'm going to bring it down to two. First of all, the Bible says that God is light. That just means that God is holy. He's of pure eyes. My, to look on sin, he cannot look on sin. He's of pure eyes than to behold iniquity. God is a holy God. That is his very nature. God is holy. A holy God. And a holy God hates sin. Number two, the Bible says that God is love. The Bible says that God is love. And I want to assure you there's no contradiction there. You're saying to me, well, tell me this. How can a holy God who hates sin accept men and women like you and me and all over the place? How can he accept it? How can he deal with our sin? A holy God must punish sin. He must deal with sin. He must deal with it justly and righteously if he is to remain holy. A holy God cannot push sin to the side. He cannot brush it under the carpet. He cannot ignore it. He cannot forget about it. My dear friends, but God is not only holy, God is love. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And God sent his Son into this world to go to the cross at Calvary and to die as our substitutionary sacrifice. He sent his Son into the world, and Jesus, the Son of God, came and fulfilled the will of the Father, and there on the cross, as a substitutionary sacrifice, my sins was laid on him, my substitute, and God, this holy God, punished my sins in Christ. He dealt with my sins in Christ. The wrath of God that was my due upon the Lamb was laid. And not only that, but through the sacrificial blood of Christ, the price of sin was paid. And because Christ died for me and dealt with my sins in their totality, a holy God comes out in grace and love and mercy. And he offers to men and women and boys and girls a full and free pardon for sin, because our sins have already been dealt with in his Son. My pardon God cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. And there is therefore now no judgment to them who are in Christ, because God has dealt with our sins through the substitute that came to die for him. And that's where the blessed news of the gospel comes in tonight. What does the Bible say about me? I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. If I'm not saved, I'll be lost and damned for all eternity. But God comes into the picture. What does it say about God? It says that God is holy, who must punish sin. But in his love, he punished it in his blessed Son, my substitute. And because he punished it in him and he satisfied God's demands, in grace he comes tonight and offers to me salvation full and free. What does the Bible say about me? What does the Bible say about God? What does the Bible say about salvation? The way of salvation. Way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to God, and that's through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's simply coming in simple faith and saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm condemned. I'm guilty. But I'm putting my trust in you and in your blood to save me. And my, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin tonight. And that way of is Jesus. And he's the only way. People talk about other ways. The Bible talks about one way. Jesus said, I am the way. The price of salvation. What does the Bible say? Well, you know, friends, it's without money, without price. But how can God justly forgive a guilty sinner? My, the precious blood of his Son was shed at Calvary. And my, the price for sin was paid in drops of ruby blood. My, we talk about the gift of salvation. It's God's gift. It's free, without money and without price. When you pay for something, it no longer becomes a gift. But my, it's offered tonight in grace freely. And the means of salvation, by grace are you saved through faith. What does the Bible say about me? What does it say about God? What does the Bible say about salvation? What does the Bible say about death? Well, it says this, that death is an appointment we must all keep. It's appointed unto men once to die. It's an appointment we must keep. There's appointments we may put off and cancel, all the rest of it. But this is an appointment we must keep. And it says, after death. That tells us that death is not the end. We don't die like a dog. We don't believe in total annihilation. We believe in life after death. We believe that the body goes into Mother Earth and goes into corruption. What we believe that the soul goes into the great eternity. Because you see, my death is the end of life, but it's the gateway. It's the gateway to eternity. And eternity is unmeasurable. Forever and ever and ever. In heaven or hell. My dear friends, death is the gateway to eternity. When you step out of life through death, and if you know the Lord, it's heaven. If you don't know the Lord, it's eternal damnation in hell forever and ever. My dear friends, from a child, says Paul, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Let me finish by saying this. Knowing the scriptures doesn't save you. I know stacks of people, many of them, who knew the scriptures. Yes, it's one thing to know the scriptures, but it's another thing to know the Lord as your Savior. I know people, who could quote from the book of Revelation, who could talk to you about some of the things in Revelation, and yet they never believed. They never came to Christ. It's not knowing the scriptures that saves you. It's knowing the Lord through the scriptures. It's by the scriptures that Jesus Christ is presented. Oh, that you might know the Lord tonight as your own personal Savior. But through the Holy Scriptures, we're brought into saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what Paul said? And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now you come to know him tonight. Great to know the scriptures. We thank God for them. We rejoice that through the message of the word of God that people can be saved, have their sins forgiven, be right for eternity, and be sure of heaven. Pray that God would bless his word, not only tonight, but throughout the week, as the scriptures are presented, that God will bless them and speak through them, and that many will come to know the Lord because of them.